Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
So let me go ahead and get started. So if you would, turn with me to John 8. John 8. John 8, and I want to read, let's read verses 22 through 24 is what I want to read. Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world." And this is where I want to concentrate on. "I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Unbelief, as Walter has said before, is not the absence of belief, but the positive or on purpose of not believing God. That is actively engaged in unbelief. That is what all men and women are involved in as they are born in Adam. We positively will not and cannot believe God as we are born in Adam. Don't misunderstand me. Every one of us in our unbelief want it to be that way. This flesh always does resist the Holy Ghost, and it loves it to be this way. We in and of ourselves, as we are born in Adam, cannot believe God, because believing God takes faith. And faith is not going to be my subject this morning, but I do want to give this as a pretext as into what I'm going to talk about. But the Scripture tells us that without faith, it is impossible to believe God, to please God. Amen. By faith, we believe God. Scripture also tells us that all men have not faith.
Exactly.
We also read in James that some men have faith, but that faith they have is a dead faith. And it certainly is not the faith of God. It is not that faith that would please God, because God is life itself, and faith is of Him, and He does not give anything that is dead. Faith is the gift of God. If any man is to have faith that pleases God, he must get it from God. And I don't mean he's going to go up to God's storehouse and get faith for himself. I mean, God must bestow it himself on an individual by his grace, or they will never have it.
Amen.
Grace, faith, and everything else of God is a part of who God is, and you will never take from God what God must give. That includes salvation. You will not have salvation unless God gives it. God must give salvation, and he will do so to whom he wills, and only to whom he wills, no matter what man says his will is. God has already performed the works of salvation, that is, those works needed to save a people from their sins. But without God bestowing his gifts on us, we will not be saved. We will not believe that he is, that is, Jesus Christ, and we will die in our sins, if that is the case with us, which is what our text says. Christ says so right here in our text. So now, with that being said, I want to look at the following things as it concerns this verse. It's one verse we've read in verse 24 of chapter 8. First of all, I want to look at who is he talking to, what is dying in your sins, and who is the I Am. Here in this text, he is speaking specifically to the Jews. That, you know, when he was teaching in the synagogue there, the Jews were gathered together, it says. Christ is specifically speaking to those who do not believe and those who cannot believe. He is telling them something that is absolutely true, no matter what they thought about it and no matter what you and I think about it. I might think of Jesus Christ, what he says, what Jesus Christ says is true regardless of what our thoughts are on the matter. We, as we are born in Adam, will not. That is, we do not have the ability to cause ourselves to will to believe Jesus Christ. We do not have a heart for it. Man's heart, as he is born in Adam, is deceitful above all things. And I've used this a lot, but this means it is deceitful above our will. So it will deceive us into thinking we can do something that we cannot.
There you go. That's right.
It will deceive us into thinking that we do believe God when we do not.
Yeah.
It is also desperately wicked. It is so wicked it cannot be cured. The word there means incurable in Jeremiah 17:9. So unless we are given a new heart, we cannot believe and we will not believe because it is the heart that makes us willing. It is also the heart, from the heart that the mouth speaketh. So if you speak of that which is not true of Jesus Christ, or if you confess that which is not the Christ of the Scripture, then you do not believe God. It is with the new heart given by God, which He has promised He would do, but it is with that the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Man can deceive himself all he wants into thinking he can will to love God and believe God. But he is deceived if he does not believe the record God gave of His Son. But we are all born this same way with this evil, wicked heart. So in reality, He is talking to everyone. Believing does not just sit on its little stool of do-nothing, as Earl used to say. That faith that I have already spoken of, given by God in that new heart, believes Jesus Christ, and it will also obey God.
Yes.
If God has given you faith, that is the faith of Jesus Christ, you will believe and you will love to hear His gospel. It is really as simple as that.
Yes.
If you do not love His gospel and you do not love His people, then you have, at best, a dead faith. This dead faith being in that old, deceitful, wicked heart. A lot of people say they believe God. They say they believe the gospel. But it is not the God nor the gospel spoken of in His Word. If man has any part in salvation at all, then it is a lie. So what does it mean to die in your sins? First of all, what is sin? Sin means an offense. It is a trespass. In other words, sin is not simply not doing something that you should be doing. When we think of the word trespass, at least in my mind, this comes up. You know, you see folks who have no trespassing signs on their property. It says no trespassing. And if someone trespasses, they are actively engaged in going onto that person's property and committing a trespass. Also, offense. And I cannot help but think of it this way because I like sports, I guess. But on sports, when you're on offense, you have the ball, so to speak. The ball's in your court. And you're actively engaged in trying to get it to the other team's side. Sin is the active engagement of men born in Adam to trespass against God. This is the important thing. We may sin against another human being. We can and we do this. But even this is an offense against God because He says not to do it. God says love your neighbor as yourself. But we are also actively, we are on offense. We trespass directly against God the Creator. So if we die in our sins, and that word "in" is the same word used in 1 Peter 2:24, where it says He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. If we die in our sins, we are completely engulfed with sin, and it's all we know, all we are, and all we have. This means we die forever in trespass against the sovereign God, and we must pay the penalty, which is death. Death being separation from God for eternity. And that is a scary thought.
Yes, sir.
We read in John 3 that if you do not believe, you are condemned already. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Unbelief is sin. So we read this, and it specifically says that not believing, that is, the active engagement of unbelief, condemns you already. You are already sentenced. That is, you will forever be in darkness. What does it go on to say in John 3 there, 19 and 20? It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." You will be in darkness forever, and darkness is separation from God, because God is light. And light has no communion with darkness. So if unbelief condemns me, and it does, what is it to believe Jesus Christ is the I Am? We know the Scripture tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We also read that everything was made by Him. There is not anything made without Him. All things are made by Him and for Him. So we know He is the Creator, and the Creator is the Word. What He says is. We read in Exodus 3:14, and keep in mind this is the Old Testament, and this is what His Word says before Christ came. Exodus 3:14, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you."
Amen.
So God is the I Am, the self-existent one. God is the Word. God is the Creator. Who else is the I Am? Genesis 17:1. "And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect."
Amen.
So God is the one who has all might. He is the one Nebuchadnezzar come to see as the one who doeth his will, both in heaven and in the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?
Yes.
The I Am is the sovereign God of heaven and earth.
Amen.
That means what He thinks or says is done. He is Lord over all, and He rules with a mighty hand. Exodus 6:2 says, "And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. The one who is Lord is also jealous. He is jealous of himself. He will not have men worship any other god but him. You worship man in any way, you are worshiping another god, and you are likely to be consumed." Deuteronomy 4:24, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." Man is not a god to be worshipped, neither is there anything else imagined by man that is a god at all. God, being the jealous God, will not share His glory with anyone or anything else. Isaiah 42:8 says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." What kind of God will create in your imagination? What kind of God will you create in your imagination that will be able to withstand this consuming fire?
Yeah.
Isaiah 46:9 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me."
Amen.
His ways are high above our ways. His thoughts are high above our thoughts.
Amen.
There is none like unto Him anywhere. He does not change. I'm reading these from the Old Testament for a reason. Because this is who God said He is then, and this is who Jesus Christ says He is. He said, I am. So when we read God saying in the Old Testament, we are hearing Jesus Christ. He does not change. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." We know that Jesus Christ came down to this earth, born of a woman, born under the law. So He is both God and man.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is all these things. But that is not all. We also know from Scripture the I Am is the following. That seed that will bruise the head of the serpent. He is the Passover. He is our Sabbath. He is that rock. He is the water that came from that rock. He is the manna, that bread from heaven. He is the kinsman redeemer. He is the light of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That one of who it was said that he shall save his people from their sin. And when he accomplished this, he said, it is finished. Someone once said to Henry, I believe it was something like this. I could have the words wrong a little bit, but it said, is Christ enough? Henry responded and said, he is if he's all you got. If you have anything else, then you have too much. Christ is all, and that is whether we know it or not, or whether we believe it or not.
Yes.
Isaiah 48:12 says, hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am He. I am the first. I also am the last. This is said in the sense there is no in-between. He is first all the way to the last, and none will get any glory apart from Him.
Amen.
The Scripture, in fact, says we are His glory because what He did for us. How does the Scripture show Him, that is, Jesus Christ, to us in His work on that tree? What He did for those to whom He loved, we see it in the following. This is the Creator. This is the powerful, the sovereign of the heaven and earth, that jealous God, that Holy One, the self-existent One, the great I Am. And here's what we read in Scripture of Him. Psalm 22, verses 6 through 14. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near me, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. But then we also read of this great God, this I Am, in Psalm 40. Sacrifice and offering didst not desire. Thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law was within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me.
Yes.
And one more, Psalm 69, and this is the great I Am. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. This is what we might call putting your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be flippant by saying it this way. But God says, and God does.
Amen.
This is the great I Am, being made a curse and sin for His people. That is love for a people right there. He is almighty and powerful. He is sovereign, but He is also that one that died, being made a curse and sin for me. Those who believe that Jesus Christ is will be saved and will not see condemnation, but are passed from death unto life in Him. When He reveals Himself to us, we will say with Peter from Matthew 16:15-16, it says, He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That one where the Father says to us, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. To those whom He loves, He says to us, Matthew 11:29, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You want to find rest from your doing? Resting in what He has done to satisfy the holy justice of God? This is the I Am Jesus Christ is speaking of in this passage. This is what He is saying to them. This is the record God gave of His Son. This is more. There is more to it than what I have given you. I in no way gave you all of who Jesus Christ is and what He's done, but it's as simple as that. Most folks think today that believing that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, died on the tree, was buried, and rose again. You know, the Romans Road, they basically call it. That road that leads to condemnation. Let me be clear, believing all those things are certainly part of who Jesus Christ is and what He has done. But those things are just a speck of who Jesus Christ is. Men and women today think they can believe a mantra like that and think because of that, God will accept their person. If you do not see this one whose person is the only one God will accept and that you must be found in Him so that you are not consumed by God Almighty, then you will die in your sins. John 11:25 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You think that you will hide all those evil thoughts from God? Not even talking about the evil deeds you have done. You might think you have hidden those from men, but you hide nothing from God. Not even your thoughts. In Revelation 2:23 we read part of the verse, I am He which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. I don't want that, do you?
No.
Now remember the meaning of the word sin. It is the active engagement of a sinner to sin, or that is trespass against the sovereign God from heaven. Unbelief is sin. So if we do not believe that Jesus Christ is, it is because we are actively engaged in not believing Him. In John 8:12, Christ says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What is it to follow Jesus Christ? It is to believe Him. It is to believe that He is that one spoken of throughout all Scripture as the great God, that God who was manifest in the flesh, who came and did save His people from their sins. There is nothing left for you to do for salvation. He has done it all. But you must believe that He is that one, or you will die in your sins. So how do we do this? His power and right. He must give it to us to do this, or we will never do it on our own. We cannot because we are dead. We are darkness itself by nature, and we love darkness by nature rather than light. So something has to change to cause us to be able to first see the light, since we are blind by nature. And then something must happen so that we follow the light, that is, believe that He is. Scripture tells us no one can come to Christ, that is, believe that He is, unless the Father which sent Him, that is, sent Christ, draws the one to whom He has chosen in His Son. But if the Father does draw them, they will see Christ and who He is, and they will believe Him and follow Him. Otherwise, no one will believe. So they will, in fact, have nothing but unbelief, and they will die in their sins and have to suffer death for eternity. So this causes me to want to beg God to give to me, to do to me what is needed so that I can believe Him. He has told us in His Word that it pleased Him to save them by the foolishness of preaching. So you in some way must hear the gospel or you will never believe. The gospel, that simple message, or that message which is singular, meaning there is one way of salvation. There is one man to accomplish that salvation, and it all comes down to the I Am. This is that message which it is to some a stumbling block, meaning they stumble over that stone that was not put there of their own doing. And they are trying to go about doing it in order to establish their own righteousness, which is not the righteousness of God. Or it is foolishness unto them. One man does all the work. This is foolish unto them because they think it is their wisdom that they know God. But in works, they deny Him. You must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, the Scripture tells us in Romans 10. So you, in your inner being, believe it is He that accomplished salvation, and you will outwardly confess to that. This is not simply believing that He arose again. It is that Jesus Christ, having paid our sins, was raised again to justification of life, and those in Him have forever satisfied God in Him. So we are not now all at peace with God if you were in Him. But how do we do this? We do not just believe out of the blue. First, He will send a preacher, and the medium or the mode of that is not specified in Romans 10. If this just means God will only use someone He has sent in person to tell you the truth, then we should quit reading and quit writing. But whatever mode God is pleased to send you the gospel, it will be from another sinner who has proclaimed what God has done to them, a sinner, and they will proclaim this to other sinners in some way. This preacher sent by God will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He will proclaim the I Am of Scripture. The individual then hearing that word will believe on Him in their heart, and with their mouth they will call upon His name, and it might sound something like this: Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Amen. They will identify with Jesus Christ and His people, and they will join themselves together with God's people in His gospel. We will come to say with the psalmist in Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Amen.